You're listening to the Electronic Media Collective Podcast Network. Yeah, it's a mouthful. For more great shows, like the one you're about to enjoy, visit electronicmediacollective.com. And now, our feature presentation.
Grolix Nights, our first Twitch live stream.
Yeah. Holy moly, welcome to Twitch.
I'm Ray.
Us.
You get I'm to Randy, see us. And I'm joined off screen by who?
Melanie.
That's a real person.
Yep, it is.
It's a chicken person.
All right.
The Grolix chicken.
Who else we got? Looks like it's we got we got our who's that?
That's Kevin Costner, friends. Welcome to the show. This is Kevin Costner saying, welcome to Grolix Nights. That's real. Kevin Costner. Kevin Costner.
She didn't even look. It's yes, a visual folks, it's pun, one of those. You have to look.
She didn't even look. She didn't realize. I did that for Melanie's benefit. No. Kevin Costner. Kevin Costner.
I don't think she enjoyed it anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think she got the same amount of enjoyment out of the visual aspect.
You're welcome.
Well, that's Jesse, our resident.
Hi, I'm Jesse. I'm Kevin Costner and Kevin Costner. Yeah, Holly came in from the other room to see that. Kevin Costner, Kevin Costner.
I feel like there was a groan.
It's not even a groan. She's not even giving me that.
She's used to it.
That feedback, that would be encouragement.
And the guy on the couch,
like a little bit. So I'm gonna
the
stop.
The guy on the couch,
who's wearing a shirt?
I was wondering if you remember.
Yeah.
Okay. Who are you?
Welcome.
I am Moose. Hi. I am Moose today.
Hi, Paul.
I'm the shirted Moose.
I don't say Moose. I reject your name.
I reject your name and call you by another.
Except your name is also the title of your forthcoming podcast.
Yeah.
Oh, that could be fun.
Randy, do that on a stream. Yeah. Paul, you're a bit of a regular on Grolix Nights, our live show, but you are going to be launching your own podcast soon. Might as well do that little bit of promotion off the top.
Yes, next Friday will be the launch of my new horror podcast, Moose's Monster Mash, where we talk about different horror movies each month. This month we are talking about Halloween's 1 and 2, Rob Zombie's Halloween 1 and 2, and the reboot that wiped it all away. So check it out on Moose's Marvelous Wood Burnings at Facebook.com. By next month, we should have more places for it to be found.
Yeah, and I've gotten a sneak peek at that episode, and you have a guest, Billy Peck. And yes.
Oh, hey!
His opinion is not wrong, because it's his opinion. Rob Zombie Halloween 2 is the best? What is he talking about? It's insanity. It's insanity.
My brother Jake has a really high opinions of the Rob Zombie. I think it's the first one.
The first one's not bad.
Like he's a big fan of that first one.
I'm gonna have to rewatch the second one.
See, I like the first one because it dives more into the backstory.
That's why he liked it too. And so, like, I am intrigued, but I have never delved into it because, for my money, I don't need a remake.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm going to have to revisit them, I think. I remember liking the first one, but the second one, I think maybe I'm just so anti-Halloween 2 in the first place, where I'm like, I don't care if it's a different movie. It's Halloween 2. It sucks.
Did I tell you the official title of this episode?
Your Halloween episode?
Of this episode?
Well, of my Halloween episode? It's Halloween, a two too many.
Three twos now?
Almost four.
There will be.
All right.
Anyway. Okay, so what we're actually talking about tonight. We're actually finally going to get to the show. Melanie, are you excited for this?
Woo!
We're actually getting to the show now.
Yeah.
She's reading so like a Kindle right book now. Or something. She's reading the poll list for next
she's
month.
She's reading something.
I'm researching 70s horror movies.
I thought so. Okay, so that's what, speaking of. So our topic tonight is 70s horror movies, specifically the best ones. And we could talk about 70s horror movies in general. Now, I have a list of my top 10. Basically, this episode is because I put together a top 10 list for a YouTube video and didn't do the video, so I don't want this list to go to waste. Plus
now Halloween, you have a YouTube video.
You're right. Plus, Halloween's coming, so why not, right? I figured we kind of go through my list. The order doesn't really matter so much because I also threw it out to you guys like, hey, think of some of your movies. And as we go through these movies, you can throw in your movies or just comment on whichever ones we kind of overlap on. Whatever, it's an excuse to talk about 70s horror movies. The wider thing overall is... That was slick, Jesse. I shouldn't comment on it because on stream, nobody will see it. But that was slick. I seen it. That's knowing your frame. That's knowing where your frame's at. That's pretty good. You should be in movies. All right. So, you know what?
And then I messed it up, man.
I called it out. I called it out. It was just very entertaining to me. He's doing stuff on the other side of the frame, viewers. I'm so used to saying listeners. Viewers, you'll never know. It's amazing things. The best things. We're not doing it. Okay, so...
The best things in life are streamed.
First off, I want to say the reason I chose 70s horror movies, I've got other lists, but the reason I chose 70s horror movies, because initially I was going to like do like of the decade, and I'll just do a series of videos of, you know, the 70s, 80s, 90s. And I was like, well, how far back do I want to go? And I was looking at the 50s, and I was like, well, I mean, they're all stuff like, what are some of the ones we've done on Grolic Cinematic Universe?
It came from outer space. There's a lot of stuff like that. Yeah.
Not to say there's not good horror movies from the 50s and earlier.
Was it the day the Earth stood still? But that's, I mean, I don't know if that's technically horror, but I mean, it's like an existential threat kind of thing.
Are you listening?
In that time frame, it was horror.
No, I'm just kind of leading up to why we're talking the 70s instead of other decades. You know, it is sci-fi, but it's creepy, right? Like, Day the Earth Stood Still. It always felt kind of horror to me.
The Gorm just stands there until he blows everything up, so.
But in the first few decades of cinema, it is slim pickings, right? Like a top 10 list. So then I jumped to the 60s, and there's some great horror movies in the 60s, but man, I was struggling to get to 10. So I'm like, you know what? 70s. That's when it really kicked off. 70s got great horror movies. It's so easy to put together this list. And then going forwards, you know, like 80s has a ton of horror movies. Like there's a massive explosion. But I don't think it's as like concentrated quality, you know? So.
Well, in the 70s, you can almost have a top 10 of your favorite Vincent Price horror movies. Mm-hmm. Just, I mean, in and of itself.
It's true. I don't think I have any Vincent Price on here. Although if I had done the six,
I have something that's related to Vincent Price.
Okay. Well, let's go ahead and start this list. Let's stop talking about thought process behind 70s. Let's just do 70s. I'm going to get this one out of the way because it's a weird one that I don't think a lot of you guys are going to have anything to comment on. But my number 10 is Shivers, which is a Cronenberg movie. It's the first Cronenberg movie. So there's two Cronenberg movies from the 70s. I think The Brood would probably make more top 10 lists if people were going to include a Cronenberg on there from the 70s. But Shivers is weird, and it stuck with me way more. I don't remember. I've seen The Brood. I don't know what it's about. I've seen Shivers. It stuck with me. So Yeah, I mean, it's super Cronenberg, like right from the get-go. It's so fascinating to me that he was just all, it was body horror right off the start. Like, he's just always been Cronenberg. Mm-hmm. But, and, you know, it's basically kind of like a zombie movie, only instead of zombies, they're sex-crazed, infected people. And it's the 70s and everybody's sweaty and hairy, and it's just... It's got to do with parasites. I don't know. It's worth a watch. I don't want to go on too long of a spiel because I don't think there's going to a lot of discussion to be had here. But Shivers, you might want to watch it. I can't.
I mean, but I mean, like Cronenberg. That's some big time horror right there. So
yeah,
I feel like on my list. Any Cronenberg.
I hadn't even heard of Shivers till I think years ago, Melanie. Did you watch it with me?
Yes, I did.
We randomly come across it on TV, and it's like, what? I don't know. It's very Canadian as well, because, you know, Cronenberg's from Canada. In fact, this, I think at this time, was one of the most successful Canadian movies, because it was kind of low budget, and it did very well. So, tells me something about the Canadians. I don't know. I don't know if they should be trusted.
Why do you think
that they like hockey?
Why do you think they're so happy all the time? They make really good horror. They have to get it out somehow.
So,
and they're good at fighting.
I have to
punch you in the nose.
I have to throw out the disclaimer too. Like, it's an interesting movie. I don't know if I could recommend it to everybody, but also, like, it tries to shock by diving into all the sexual taboos, and some of it's weird and gross, and then some of it's just like a pair of gay dudes, and so. It's not, maybe not as shocking now. Maybe it's a little offensive.
Right.
But, you know, it was like the mid-70s.
Doesn't age well.
Yeah, some aspects don't age so well. But.
What are you saying, Cronenberg?
Right? I don't know. Of all people, Cronenberg never struck me as, I don't know, his movies. He doesn't care what anybody does, I don't think.
No. Yeah. You wouldn't think.
VCRs, it's all game for Cronenberg.
Yeah.
I mean, this definitely has, like, this is, it's not quite Videodrome level, but it's leaning towards Videodrome, because it's not just body horror, it's weird body horror and sexual tension. I guess tension is an interesting way to put it, but yeah
sexual tension and STDs.
Making out with a television set, and it's gonna make out back. If you call that tension. All right.
I don't not call it tension.
It's not tension for me, but it might be for somebody.
It's attention. Wait, what? What does that mean?
The rest of my list, I just had to throw that in there because the rest of my list is very standard. Like, none of these are going to be shocking to anybody. And when putting together these lists, I'm always like, I feel like I should, like, try to find more obscure movies. Because in the internet age, everybody knows everything. Mm-hmm. But why? This is a top 10 list. You're going to hear the same things because, man, they're just good movies.
Yeah.
If I've learned anything today, be true to yourself.
Speaking of, Paul, I know you had a little list. Pick something. What's on your list? Give us one. Please. I'm tired of hearing myself talk already.
Because your kiss is on my list.
My list. Oh.
Because I'm also 60.
My number 10 was Alien.
Alien, okay.
We're old.
And again, not for any, you know, particular reason number-wise, but it honestly doesn't really strike me as horror as much as sci-fi. But, I mean, I guess as a kid, it was more scary than science fiction. I mean, don't get me wrong, it's a heck of a movie. But it doesn't really strike me as what we would constitute today as horror.
I'm glad you brought that point up, because that's kind of like the thing I have to say about Alien when it comes up on horror lists. Do you consider Alien a horror movie?
Yeah. Because if that creature were anywhere near you, you would be terrified. I guarantee. Why? How could it not be a horror?
I always
something about that movie too. Like Alien. does feel like horror because of the way that it's shot, but Aliens feels way more sci-fi to me, because I always put Aliens on my list as well, but I never put Aliens, and I like Aliens, but it's not my horror pick.
I will say it does have the darker cinematography. It plays more with the shadows and stuff like that, which I like.
Have a guy's chest.
And
come on.
And it has that. Yeah.
Well, Aliens brings.
It has the Aliens man-eater.
Brings like
man eater. You know,
it brings the action in. It's less. Not that there's not tension. There is with the beep 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 beep. But it's more action sci-fi, and this one is treated like a horror movie. It's, I think I've heard, I don't remember who, was it Ridley Scott directed this one, I believe? That's, it should be a stupid question, but I'm pretty sure I'm right.
Yeah.
Or somebody, one of the producers say, it's basically a haunted house movie in space, and I kind of get what they're getting at, but it feels more like, obviously, a monster movie, but also like monster movie slasher?
Maybe.
And I get their point with the haunted house.
Kind of a siege type of idea, yeah, I suppose.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely full of jump scares.
Well, and it's a lot of, like, people... It is, I don't know.
People hiding.
People hiding and, like, slowly walking through dark hallways and stuff. Yeah, yeah. No, I totally think it's horror. It's got a sci-fi element, of course, but I've always been down with people putting it on the horror list. That's my number 7.
Event Horizon is a haunted house movie in space.
Event Horizon's a Hellraiser movie in space.
Well, yeah.
I was say, like, yeah. That's a spelunking really into hell movie in space.
We talk about it a lot, and I haven't watched it in years.
Yeah. It was weird, but I think it was still had things that were good about it, even though I don't think it was necessarily a good movie.
Where are you going?
I'm just looking for something on your back. I don't want to do it with my drink.
Since we're questioning ones that could be popping up on horror lists, this one's bugged me a lot. How about Jaws? That one strikes me more action, maybe thriller, not so much horror.
I mean, it is in a sense that it's man versus nature kind of thing. So, I don't know. It's filmed very dramatically, you know.
It's very dramatic.
Oh,
yes.
Jaws is... Oh, that's from the 70s? That totally fits this conversation.
Yeah, it's listed as a 70s
horror. Jaws didn't I'm a little surprised, actually. I hadn't even thought about Jaws because it didn't pop up on any of the lists I look at, but I think it kind of applies because if you think of, like, there are no good modern equivalents to Jaws, but it'd be like Anaconda, right, or some ridiculous, like, large animal movie or something, and those are always considered horror movie.
Lake,
yeah,
Placid.
Exactly. And those are definitely horror movies. I think it's just handled more tactfully.
Oh, Piranha. Is Piranha a 70s movie too?
The first one?
Yes.
So actually, is it kind of in the same...
Yeah. Oh, Piranha is probably a...
In the same boat.
And that's why they needed a bigger boat.
Yep.
Piranha was probably a direct result of Jaws, I'm guessing.
Probably.
Piranhas also have Jaws, so I mean it's the same.
Same movie. Piranhas.
It's the same movie, only with a bigger boat and smaller fish.
Smaller jaws.
Yeah, there it is.
Same movie.
And whiter teeth. No, they
Jesse,
don't.
Did you have any? Did you put together a list? If you did, I don't want to skip over you.
I did. I did. Yeah, I put together a list. Do you want me to go with weird
you
or?
Want, man.
Okay, so I'm just gonna throw I'm gonna throw my weird one out there since we're kind of talking weird installations right now. I'm gonna go with the Omega Man, which I referenced earlier because that is my reference to the Vincent Price movie, Last Man on Earth, or I believe that's what it's called. And I don't know, the Omega Man. I mean, I'm throwing around horror very lightly on that one. I don't know if it's horror, but it has horror elements in that, like, the bad guys are kind of like zombie vampire men-ish. But it's Charlton Heston, baby. This was the era of Charlton Heston.
In his prime.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, we can't talk about the 70s and not bring him up.
The bad Last Man on Earth. Oh, wait. I guess it's the second worst one because.
Would you say it's worse than?
Shaft.
Legend.
I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. So that's an interesting. That's it's an interesting pick because I like that story a lot. I like the Vincent Price one. That would have been on my list if we did 60s.
Oh yeah, that's a better movie. Yeah, sure. That's a better movie. But I love this movie. I love the Omega Man mainly because of that camp factor. He's like the original Ash Williams.
You're kind of right.
Like,
it's so bad. I remember being so I'd seen bits and pieces, and then I think I got more. I became more familiar with the Vincent Price movie. And then I was like, well, I got to watch Omega Man now. And I made a point to watch the whole thing through. And I was like, what?
It's like the whitest blaxploitation movie ever.
You're right. Oh, I do. My favorite scene, though, that one that's always stuck with me is just when, God, how much effort it would have done to get this shot is when he's just like pedal to the metal, just driving down the middle of a totally abandoned city.
Yes,
convertible, and you can tell that's actually Holland. I think about that scene often. Actually, not long ago, I'm like, God, I would love to do that, but, and I know there's nobody else driving around to get into an accident, but what if, you're boned if you get into a car accident in the apocalypse? Like, there's no doctor.
They kind of remake that scene in I Am Legend, I believe. You know, I think I vaguely remember that. And it was done fairly well. I mean, as far as Will Smith redoing a classic.
You know, I mean, unless I'm mistaken, if you want, you can sign a bunch of waivers and go out and do that in the salt flats.
Yeah, but it's not a big open city.
You might die. But you might die.
That's why you signed the waivers.
Yeah. I'd rather watch it. Vicariousness.
Oh man. Okay. Hey, what do you got?
Yeah. So the Omega Man. That was one of my picks. I assume it's not on anybody else's list, but I gotta have a top 10.
But it is a good pick, though. I'm kind of. I don't imagine. Think I like it, but I'm always willing to talk about it because it's weird. It is a weird pick. It's a weird movie.
Yeah.
So, since I don't...
Does it count? Does it count as horror?
Yeah,
I don't know if it is.
I would say it does.
It's post-apocalyptic.
Because of subject matter and, source material, even if the movie itself isn't very horror, I think it's still... It's got kind of vampire zombie people that are pretty hip.
They're kind of boring, though. Like, this version, they're kind of boring. They're just like,
okay,
we're outside.
So, which is better then? Is, Vincent Price, basically Night of the Living Dead style zombies, where they're slow, but they talk, though. They taunt him. Is that?
Yeah.
Is the 70s weird, funky, boring zombie vampire things, or the Will Smith CGI crap fest monsters?
Yeah, see, that CGI was so bad, though. I'm like, there's things I like about that movie, but the CGI is not one of them.
I think the taunting zombies could be more fun.
The CGI sucked. It was such a bad decision, but that's not even the worst part of that movie. Like, it could have been totally salvaged if they hadn't have reshot the ending and gave it just a total crap ending.
Right.
Or just read the book, because that's...
Yeah, and totally not in line with the original story. Like, if you've read the book, it's like,
well, it's because
whoa.
They had to... I don't know. I guess because it's Will Smith, they got to make him a hero of some kind, except it doesn't really make sense the way that they did it. He's not the point of the... It changes the entire point
That's counter
the
to the book. It's totally counter to the story. Yeah.
I Am Legend, not because I
sacrifice
myself for the nobody's greater good. It doesn't accomplish anything. It's I Am Legend because I'm a boogeyman that the new people talk about because I've been murdering them for years.
Yeah.
Baba Yaga.
Right.
Baba Yaga.
I'm the horror. I'm the monster in this movie. Yeah.
What you got?
Well, okay, so I know Rocky Horror Picture Show won't count. But what about... Oh,
I mean, it's on a lot of lists. I don't know why. It's on a lot. Oh, yeah. You picked it, didn't you?
On your list.
Oh, that's right.
Okay. Well, we could talk about that.
Well, I shiver with anticipation. patient.
I was ready to just to continue the conversation.
Yeah.
And then hopefully, like, you remember to hit the patient 45 minutes from now.
Oh, later? Oh, yeah. I mean, I could have done that, but, like, nah.
Rocky Horror... Okay, so...
It's not scary.
How about that, though? Where does that fall in terms of horror movies? It is 100% horror-themed.
Horror comedy.
To yes. a T. But it's not...
It's a horror comedy.
Yeah, I guess.
So I guess if we would allow Frankenstein's, or wait, Young Frankenstein.
Oh, Young Frankenstein.
That's also on
if
my
that
list.
If we're allowed, then but neither of them are scary.
No, they're not scary.
But they have crossdressers, and Meatloaf.
Yes.
Are those scary?
Meatloaf is.
Meatloaf is scary.
Very. Yeah, good answer.
Well, I mean. You figure with Rocky Horror and even Young Frankenstein, they both touch on Frankenstein's monster. They touch on very basic horror elements and present them in different ways that hadn't been seen at that point.
I mean, yeah, they're both kind of send-ups of horror, really. Young Frankenstein. Frankenstein would not... It would go on a comedy list. I would not put it on a horror list, but that is also a good pick.
Yeah,
I love that movie.
Well, I didn't. I had Rocky Horror there, but
your
because I didn't think it would. But House, I was like,
House.
Oh, House.
That's one of my. That's an honorable mention.
Is that I was gonna say it was on your list, but I didn't know if it was
no,
on
it's,
your
it's
list.
It's a number 12. It's a number 12 of my top 10, so it was honorable mention. House, dude, this is a movie. Even in the age of the internet, I feel like a lot of people still don't know. And we're not talking, it's Hausu or whatever in, it's Japanese, right? Yeah, Japanese. So we're not talking about that, like, House or House 2 or any of that. Oh, I don't even know where to start with this. Explain,
they,
okay.
They turn a guy into a bunch of bananas.
That happens. A lady's, a piano cuts a lady's hands off before eating her. At the whole time, there's body parts flying around the room. It's something about a goldfish or something, too. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a haunted house.
Yeah, I guess, but it doesn't explain why a man turned into a pile of bananas.
Because he went bananas.
No.
I guess.
Well.
That's House.
Yeah, that's House.
Sounds appealing.
Oh, gosh.
Look up future viewers. I don't know how many people we got now. Maybe two. That's probably you guys, huh?
Two. And they're,
okay.
They're us.
Future viewers.
Yeah, it's us. Yeah.
Look up the trailer for House. Or Hausu. Just change the E to an O. Look up the trailer. It's bananas.
Oh.
I couldn't help it. I didn't want to. That's just the natural...
B-A-N-A-N-A-N-A-N.
It's bananas. Yeah, there it is. There it is. You beat me there.
I want to rewatch it, though. I've been trying to get the Grindbin guys to cover it too for years now.
Maybe instead of saying,
"Is it not Grindbin enough?" It seems.
Oh,
very
I just
Grindbin.
Don't think they've gotten around to it. Well, you know, I don't. It's the kind of movie you kind of have to twist some arms, I think, to really get people to watch it. I think they know what it is, which might be the problem too. They know what it is. I can't imagine that's because Grindbin right. podcast. They like really go plot by plot point by plot point. I don't know how you do that with that movie. So maybe that's the issue.
Well, by the sounds of it, why don't you pair it with Beetlejuice and the GCU?
Ooh.
I don't know.
That's actually not terrible. I don't know what else I'd pair it with.
I mean, you even have the Banana Boat song. Come on. Harry Belafonte will practically
hey!
Sign up.
Okay. All right, my turn. Those were good picks.
Thanks.
I liked it. I liked them both.
Yep.
Thank you for backing me on Rocky Horror.
Well, I like those picks because I like talking about the horror genre and what isn't a horror movie. I don't know. Okay, The Omen. I'm only gonna whatever. It's The Omen. It's got a doctor in it. It's basically Final Destination, but better. With the Antichrist, and it's the reason Damien is
yes,
a cool
yeah.
name to a lot of people.
Yeah.
Or a not cool name. I don't know. Everybody thinks it's cool, though.
And the one part with the
and it kind of ruined Brightburn for us.
Yeah.
It does have...
like the best thing ever.
The Omen, I had a whole thing written out for the video, but that's one of the like best horror scenes, mm-hmm. is the It's All For You, Damien scene.
That's the kind of stuff that traumatized child me. Not really traumatized me, but like...
Affected you? Really?
Yes.
Oh. Yeah, it's good. It's atmospheric. It's kind of, you know...
But that's because I was not censored as a child, so I watched that probably far too young.
Probably.
Yeah, I'm sure I did. But I was like, she just... Oh my God. You know, just shocked me.
Go watch...
Well, that was one of those shows that they, like, played on everything. It was one of those...
We grew up at a
Saturday morning. Yeah.
Yeah.
KPTM.
Saturday morning.
Fox 42.
What is...
It's a matinee. Okay. Like, hey, let's go to the matinee. It's
Omen again. Saturday morning cartoons.
The cartoons are over. It segued into... Yeah, it segued right into, like, the Omen.
Yep.
Did it?
Yeah, the cartoons were over, and hey, it's the 12 o'clock movie. It's the Omen.
The Omen's interesting to where it's very 70s in its style and execution. It's also a little... It's very 70s, but without some of the, like, excessiveness that some of the other movies have... some of the other movies have on my list anyway, but it's slow, but not too slow. It just kind of feels sleepy. That kind of does make it the perfect like weekend, midday, Fox 42 movie. You know,
it's a very somber.
And then occasionally a dude gets decapitated by a window pane. It's just, it's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, then something awful happens. Yeah.
Gets impaled. Yeah. Spoilers.
Anybody gets touched by a beam of light.
Yeah.
The good old days of horror when it wasn't the... what did we say? When we did the Friday the 13th, what did we say the timing was? Every 8 minutes?
Yeah. In the 80s, they kind of worked out the formula for slashers, and it was basically a kill every, I think, 8 minutes. Keeps the audience invested.
So yeah, the spacing was a lot further.
Oh yeah,
in the 70s. Yeah,
exactly. 70s are like a kill every 35
minutes.
Kept
you guessing.
No, I don't know.
See, it kept you on your toes. You're like, no one's died yet. Oh, there he goes.
Well, I gotta stop vaping on these streams. It's not one of those things.
It adds ambiance.
It's because it's Halloween. It's
Spooky. Fog machine.
So I'm doing this.
Man, why are you inhaling dry ice, man? That's healthy. That's not good for you.
Nothing's good for you anymore.
It's just water. Our bodies are mostly water. Returning. So is dry ice water? I don't know.
Look,
I don't
it's know people. Fog machine.
It's a ghost. Ghost. It's two ghosts.
It's Kermit. In a row.
Right. Bro.
Oh, God.
That was a ghost.
I had such a weird moment. My.
That was a ghost. Oh, so, no.
Paul's got people walking behind him, and for some reason, like, I seen it, and I'm like, wait, was that Arkham?
Manicorn's like, a ghost?
And then I look, and you're still there, and I'm like, the paranormal was somebody just walking behind us? We're not Paul. I need to remember that. I keep forgetting. This stream's weird.
How do you forget that?
Oh, man. I get that confused all the time.
Who's next? Paul? Paul? What do you got? Give us a movie. Let's talk about something ridiculous. What we're doing.
Well, if we want to go ridiculous, I'll go honorable mention, Attack of the Killer Tomatoes.
What?
There you go.
The 70s? Yeah.
That's that kind of movie that you've never actually seen.
1979.
But you see everybody make fun of in every other movie.
Ooh, cusp.
That's what it is. I've never seen it, but I've heard about it through other movies making fun of it.
Basically. You've never seen it?
No.
It made me appreciate the cartoon that much more.
I was going to say, like, my introduction to that would have been the cartoon years later. I think it was in the 90s when they made that a cartoon.
So, yeah, early 90s with Maurice LaMarche and a couple other guys. So I remember Mo. But, yeah, it was one of the worst movies ever made. But it was so cheesy. It's good. Like, you have to watch it at least once in your life. Just to say, yeah, I sat down and I did it.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
And it spawned, I think, like 5 sequels.
Oh, yeah, I believe that. Yeah. I don't. With a title like that, why wouldn't you make more?
Like, how did you not see the tomatoes coming the second time?
It's Attack of the Killer Tomatoes.
Yeah.
But isn't it supposed to be huge? So, I mean, you would see it coming.
There's like lots.
Are there?
No. In the cartoon, they were huge. In the movie, they were just legit tomatoes. Like, the movie starts with this tomato in the sink, and it just comes about the sink and takes this woman out during the opening sequence.
Like, if Swamp Thing were mad, like legit mad.
Tomatoes, yeah. Swamp Thing face. Throw tomatoes at you.
Like, there's just this little.
No, oh, man.
Like little tomato with teeth just.
It was like piranha,
but tomato. A tomato.
Okay.
Yeah. We're gonna need a bigger boat. Salad bowl.
We're gonna need a bigger salad bowl.
I don't know that those cartoons were good, but that was the magical time when the '90s, around the times of the Attack of the Killer Tomatoes, when they were also making children's cartoons out of trauma movies, Toxic Avenger and stuff.
We had time.
Oh, yeah.
Stupid Ghostbusters with the gorilla? What was that about?
The real Ghostbusters? There's a whole lot of stuff. I'm saying
they came first, man.
Yeah, I don't know those Ghostbusters. They were obviously.
Hashtag yeah, not my Ghostbusters. Not my Venkman.
Not my Venkman.
There's lawsuits about everything today.
There probably was a hashtag not my Ghostbusters, huh? Now that I think about it. Who's next? What do you got? Who's next?
Jesse. Oh, that's me, right? Okay, so what's one? Okay, I'm going to throw one, since we're still kind of on the cusp of weird here. I'm going to go with Salem's Lot and Nosferatu the Vampire. I kind of like gave them a tie because I feel like they're the same thing, because one is a legit remake of Nosferatu, and then the other is basically, you know... was it Mr. Barlow? He's basically an homage. And it's not technically a movie. You know, it's like a miniseries. So I figure between the two of them, one's a remake and one's a miniseries, that counts as one movie.
Yeah.
It just homages back to the original one. Was it Max Schreck as Nosferatu? And I like it because it reinvents the vampire. I mean, way back in the 30s? So, 20s. I mean, like the... Is it the 20s? Holy moly. Anyways, like, vampires are actually monsters. That's what I dig about it.
Yeah. Well, when did...
And they can be scary in silence.
They don't have to be sexy, you know? Like, even Dracula, they were like, oh, sexy vampire. I'm like, no, they can be scary. They can be monsters. Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
So, I liked it. And I liked how... I liked how they re-envisioned that for Salem's Lot, which otherwise Salem's Lot's okay, but I really like what they did with the vampire.
It's a TV movie, right? Salem's Lot? Okay. Or a miniseries? Yep.
Stephen King, maybe almost everything was a miniseries back in the day.
All the Stephen Kings are miniseries for some reason, at least back then.
I say now they're getting the right treatment.
Yeah, the Dark Tower series.
Well,
80s. Oh, wait. God. It wasn't until Maximum Overdrive that really they finally handled it right. Took Stephen King himself to take the movie in his hands.
Man.
It's the only movie he ever directed.
Yeah.
Maximum Overdrive?
That's when it worked. Yep. Right.
Side note, I got to see the Goblin Head from Maximum Overdrive.
Who did Cat's Eye?
Cat's Eye?
I mean, that's like a Stephen King thing, isn't it?
Some jobber. Let's see.
It's crazy. It was crazy. Like a goblin and then the cat.
That was fun. That was my favorite one.
I pretty much summed that up.
That was another
just
one
now.
That would run on TV on the weekends all the time during
the
day.
I love that one, especially the goblin little one. I didn't really like the one where they would shock that lady. That one made me angry. And then what was the other one?
But yeah, that was a also known as Stephen King's Cat's Eye. Yeah, anthology movie.
Right, but I think like it was specifically made to be visual. Not it wasn't a book, was it?
I it is. I don't know if it was before that. Or not. But
sorry. Okay. Totally sidetracked this thing.
The first two. Okay, so it's an anthology of three shorts, three stories. The first two are adaptations of short stories in King's Night Shift collection, and the third is unique to the film.
Okay. Okay.
Interesting.
According to Wikipedia.
All right.
Who's what you got?
My nine is Stepford Wives.
Stepford Wives.
Yes.
Oh.
Ooh. The old one, not the
one. Again, could be kind of sci-fi.
Shut up. It's not. It's
wow. Her
she
stance.
Told you.
Shut up.
It's because you're men.
Kevin,
you're
all right. Near.
All right.
Oh, that's true. You know what? That's interesting. So I wonder if that comes across as more sci-fi to more men, whereas opposed if you ask most women.
Yeah.
What about what would Kevin Costner say?
We don't care because Kevin Costner is a sexist piece of un-British speaking crap.
That was something.
No, it's okay. He's just kind of a. I met him in a hotel once, and he wouldn't talk to anybody.
A-hole.
Yeah.
Really? What?
But anyway, let's. Wow.
I don't know that I've ever watched it.
Stepford Wives?
I know it's a classic.
Shame on
it
you,
is like
Kevin
a classic,
Costner.
But I don't know that I've ever actually watched it.
Well, you should.
I like that. I think it looks like I'm talking to Jesse when I'm talking to you.
I know what you're doing this weekend.
I don't know. I should watch it. Also interesting,
it's
something we
bad.
Should have been keeping tabs on is how many of these have been remade. Because on my list so far, okay, I've only got two. Oh, I guess if you count Alien, doesn't really count.
I've got three or four. No, at least three. Sequels.
At least six that have been remade.
Out of my 10.
I think almost every one of mine has been remade.
Wait, no. Five, six.
Six that I know of, and maybe more.
On my list have been remade. Straight remake. And all of them, nine out of 10 have sequels.
Oh, I guess five.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yep. One, two.
Sequels I just threw in there, but I was just curious.
You know, like Omega Man doesn't really count as a sequel.
But it has. It's a remake.
Does it have a sequel?
It's a remake.
It's a remake.
But,
yeah.
So, would you still count though? Is I Am Legend a remake of that, or the Vincent Price one, or just?
No. It's the only one. The only one that's like. Is there not a sequel? Or Salem's Lot. I mean, I don't think there's a sequel to Salem's Lot, so technically.
It's okay. I didn't know what the sound was.
And then Nosferatu is a remake.
Right, right. That's what I mean. Like, Salem's Lot and Nosferatu, that would not have a sequel, but they're remakes for sure.
Has The Omen been remade?
But it's got sequels
and has been
for
remade.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, did you, what were yours? Stepford Wives. My next one is a sequel, has many sequels, and has also been remade. Dawn of the Dead. Did you?
Yep, that's on my list.
Yep.
Well, yeah, I figured if we have something on our list that somebody else says, we'll just talk about it then.
Okay, because I had Aliens also.
Okay.
Bingo.
Did you want to talk more about Alien?
No, I don't want to talk about it. I'm just saying I'm going to cross them off.
Okay. Dawn of the Dead, was that on all of our lists?
Oh. Yeah, that's not a bad idea.
It was on mine.
It was on mine.
I say I got Dawn of the Dead.
Yeah, I like Dawn of the Dead.
Yep, everybody.
Everybody likes Dawn of the Dead.
The remake's okay. But, so Dawn of the Dead, do you think the zombies are a problem? Because I know a lot of people who either are not horror fans or they don't appreciate 70s cinema or whatever. They're just stupid kids. They're like, the blue.
Or they're just
okay, everybody gets
kids.
Amused by it. The blue zombies. Think that's a problem? Think it hurts the movies? Because it's a matter of like that you could tell they have the hero zombies as the ones they really focus the makeup on, and then since they have so many extras, they just painted them all blue. So
yeah, you're not really
I'm colorblind, so it didn't matter.
I mean, they were going for like a pale blue, pale dead.
They're there for background.
Okay.
so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, they get up on
there. Yeah, so it's the whole was it Blue Boy theory where it's like cool colors, they just recede into the background, and that was the whole point.
They're the red shirts of Dawn of the Dead.
Yeah.
What is it? Oh my gosh.
Whoa. We have a chat, it's and good. It's weird. No.
I'm good at operating a forklift.
What are you? What? Don't comment on
people. Sorry.
How do you
respond?
There we go.
All right.
That's funny. I'm like probably the only one of us that I know
left.
I can operate a forklift.
How do I close this?
Anybody else? No? No? Yeah.
What do you can? I can.
No.
I can, and a scissor lift, and a telehandler. So I'm actually pretty efficient with most heavy machinery.
Never mind, you just ruined the joke. God. No, it's good job. Good on you.
So when did that chat...
I don't know. I just noticed it now. And I was like, whoa. It either just exploded or it's been there a while and I just ignored it.
No, it just kind of blew up and it just happened.
Don't even read him.
Nighttime. There, I said it. Nighttime.
You can, but why would we?
Just don't even acknowledge it, guys.
Okay, fine.
There's no chat. There's no such thing as the chat. Unless you want to chat. If you'd like to chat, go ahead and chat. But we might delete you if you're a jerk.
I don't know. I feel like this other person is a nothing, too.
Is a nothing.
You know what I mean.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, their first question is, what?
Right, well, banning. Banned! Banned!
Boom! Boom! That's what you get! It's
disappointing that our first chat interaction on Twitch is that people trying to get us to say the N-word. Oh boy, Twitch! This is gonna be great.
It's Twitch. It's gonna be a bunch of little adolescent boys, right?
No, that was probably a 70-year-old woman. Don't be sexist.
You just waded into
and ageist.
Hey,
right in there.
Watch Step for
hey,
Wives,
welcome to Gamergate chat.
I don't need to yell at you about Step for Wives.
God. Dawn of the Dead.
Is that our welcoming committee? Welcome to Twitch. Say the N-word. Say it. Who do you think?
What's this mean?
PewDiePie? Can't get us on that.
Yeah, we don't have PewDiePie jokes. Nope.
Maybe they were just commenting on the fact that you're all a bunch of old white guys.
No, somebody called one of us a neckbeard. It applies to most of us most days, so.
Most of the time, you can't even see my
neck. What movie were we
neck.
Talking about?
Do I have a neck?
About Dawn of the Dead. But then,
Dawn of the Dead.
Now it's somebody else's turn.
How are you going to bust in on a perfectly good Dawn of the Dead conversation with some nonsense? What is what I want to know.
I don't know, man. Yeah, weird. Dawn of the Dead is so good, it's on everybody's list. Boom.
Dawn of the
right?
Dead, I don't know. It works because...
Zombies?
Zombies. No, well, yeah, but at this point, just being zombies. Plus, we know. Just
or
being
going
zombies
to the mall.
Doesn't make it work. Or going to the mall, for that matter. But, I don't know. It works because once they're holed up in the mall, it actually seems super fun. That mall's got everything. And it seems pretty awesome until they get bored and then bikers ruin everything. But
bikers.
Enforces my my opinion, I guess, that the best zombie movies, the zombies aren't really ultimately the threat. They're just like a natural hazard. It's always, social commentary, but it's always humans. Humans are the main villain.
Wait, the one with the guy across the way, that was the old one, not the new one, right?
No, that's the new one.
Was it the new one?
That's a new one. I like that one too. Yeah. No, it's all right.
Well, the new one's okay. I just felt.
I thought it was.
There's like no likable characters.
That had that stupid girl with the dog.
No.
That was the new one, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. Good.
The old one, the original, the one we're talking about.
No, I remember Sex Machine.
Yeah, it's got Sex Machine. Yeah.
No, I remember it. I just mushed some of the that.
Oh, part I am into so glad you're opinionated about this.
What?
Said I am so glad you're this opinionated about this.
Why?
the new and old Dawn of the Dead for next month's episode.
Oh yeah, we'll be talking about this later, huh?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's this would be a boring podcast if I didn't have any opinions on any of this stuff.
You mean people are allowed to have opinions?
What? No, come on.
As long as
you mean crazy now.
Opinion that you're arguing with and not fact, then I'm fine with it. People having an opinion, that is.
Yeah.
Let's go. Dawn of the Dead is great. That's a fact. Let's move.
Who's next?
Oh, is that me? Is that me? No, that's Paul. Paul, you're next.
Chainsaw
right?
Massacre.
Yep. Toby on my list.
It's a Hooper masterpiece from 1974.
This is my number two. This is my number two slot. So this is way up there for me.
I don't get it.
No?
No.
Yeah.
I just picked 10 at random, but it would be up at near the top.
I said if not at the top. Matter. Whatever.
I don't count that as a movie. I count that as a documentary almost.
That's an experience.
Because from what I hear, it was very horrible for all the people involved.
There was a great, there's a great documentary on it, or maybe it's the commentary track to one of the re-releases. I don't know, but there's some Blu-ray or DVD set that has a ton of great information on just how horrible it sounded like it was to film this. Mm-hmm.
And we saw a couple of them. Remember?
Oh yeah, we've seen them talk at what was that? It was some.
Yeah, we all saw that. It was at Scream in the Dark Film Festival, second or third year, second year, I think. And some of the folks were inducted into their Hall of Fame, and we got to listen to them talk about it. And yeah, it did sound like it was kind of an awful experience at the same time that was a classic in Wayne Happen.
I say Ed Neal tells a really raunchy story about that movie. Yeah. And not raunchy in a nasty way, but like, you know, the scene where she gets a rag put in her mouth and she gets tied to the chair.
Oh yeah.
And she's like gagging and just kind of thrashing about. Well, the director, like, they were trying to figure out, I guess, okay, they tied her to the chair. They're like, okay, we need something to put in her mouth. And, Toby's like, here, use this rag. It, you know, it looks dirty here. Put this in her rag, you know, put this rag in her mouth. So they put it in her mouth and she kind of turns a little blue and just starts gagging and throwing. He's like, that's good. Let's go with it. Just go. You know, and well, by the time they get done there, he calls cut and he's like, that was great. You know, how did you do that? And the prop master comes over and says, you didn't use this rag, did you? And he's like, well, yeah. And she goes, oh my God, this is the rag we've been using for 2 weeks to clean up the meat shards off the table.
So
yeah, that reaction you see on screen is legit her trying not to throw up.
Oh God.
So, I mean, it is a real gagging, just, oh God.
The screening that you mentioned we had went to really kind of something I hadn't, maybe it occurred to me before, but really enforced the idea of this movie is just relentless. Like once it gets towards the last, I don't know how long it is, but it feels like forever, like 30 to 40 minutes. It's just relentless, constant noise and horrible things. So yeah, that's why this is super high on my list, because it's awesome. And it's everything's filthy, it's super grainy, and it was low budget, so it just adds that documentary feel, I guess, like you were saying.
Oh yeah, but
great pick,
Jesse.
Okay, well, we're really climbing up now. I'm gonna go with one that I know better. Carrie. We talked about Stephen King before, and as far as like Stephen King movies go, this is probably one of, I don't know, maybe a hot take. It's maybe the best Stephen King movie.
But close.
That's a hot take for me. No, yeah, it is close though. Like, it's way up there. This is in my. I put this up at.
It definitely is. Yeah, I put this up at
number four. And when I think of like, five. You're number five. Mm-hmm. When I think of,
let's say it's in my top great five
movies based on Stephen King books. This is definitely in the top two or three.
It has the scariest horror movie moment I've ever seen.
The scariest horror movie moment.
And is the. It has the greatest American hero in it.
Who's that?
Sold. Sold. Who is that? He used to. He was almost Han Solo.
We're younger. We're younger than you are.
But
I gotta remember okay. that
William Catt is the greatest American hero. He's incredible. And the story.
We got all that. You roboted out real hard. We didn't good. Hear any of it.
Oh, good. I feel like that's the appropriate response. Yeah. The internet knew that I should just chill. He was the reluctant.
You know what? I'm staying out of this one. Nope.
You don't want to be 60 as well. But you are.
I am.
It was plug it up, by the way.
William Catt's incredible. He's the prom date.
Plug it up is...
Yeah.
That's the
he's
worst.
A jerk. He's a total jerk.
That's my nightmare.
Plug it up.
That would have been. I would have just died.
That's the worst horror movie moment of ever. All time. Yeah, Carrie is great though, and it's that whole thing of like, you can have a good Stephen King movie if you give it to a talented director. Yeah. And this is De Palma, and he does very Brian De Palma things in it, like that whole last sequence, building up to the pig blood bucket mm-hmm. scene where it does the old De Palma split screen. People call it that? No, I don't know. But it does the split screen, and it really...
that old...
Yeah, draws out that screen. Moment where it's like the one part of the frame is following the rope. Like, every inch of the rope all the way up and around, just like you get it. And a lesser director or a less imaginative director just be like, okay, well, whatever, there's pig blood, and we're going to dump it on her. But this, like, makes it a whole, like, weird sequence that's pretty cool.
That's good, too, because that's probably... I mean, I don't recall if I read the book or not. I read a lot of Stephen King, but I don't remember all of it. But one of the problem with movies is that they can't
get the importance of small
yeah.
things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so focusing on something like that might not be exactly what it was in the book, but it still gets the same feeling across more than just, you know, she's standing there and then she dumps on her head. Okay.
Like, and I realize De Palma's Carrie came first, but it was almost Kubrickian in its delivery.
I mean, kind of. He's very stylized in a slightly different way, but like Stanley Kubrick, like just as stylized, for sure.
Okay, mine. Sorry, I'm trying to move it along.
Well, we don't have to. Guys, if we don't get through this list, like if it gets too late, we don't get through this list. That's fine. We don't have to get through our list.
I want to get through my list. Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Invasion of the Body Snatchers. That's a yes. good one.
Yeah, I like the sequel more. Ooh, than good one. Today.
Which,
or the remake, one of the two. I like the newer one because I like the noise better.
Wait. There's been that movie's been remade.
Which sequel?
Three times. There which are remake? Four versions of that movie.
Really?
Yes.
I only knew of the.
There's the 50. Oh. Wait, 60s, 50s.
The Donald Sutherland one, and then the one that I made you watch with me.
Then there's the Donald Sutherland one. That's the 70s one, right?
Yeah.
And then there's the 80s one, or maybe it was 90s, with the sound.
Yeah.
Where the oh, yeah. that thing.
Yeah.
And then there's one with Nicole Kidman. There is? I think they just called it Invasion. Oh. And I think there's another one.
Oh, well.
It's like it gets remade good, every decade.
Yeah.
Okay, that's all.
But yeah, no, It is good.
And I like being I like being afraid of your friends and neighbors and family. That speaks to me, okay?
Yeah. I always like
you like the idea of pod people
insight into Melanie on this show. Well, it's such a good horror concept. Yeah. And you know, you see it in a lot of other things, but yeah, pod people and, you know, body snatchers. Like the thing, you know, stuff like that. It's
yeah,
and it's usually almost always an alien mm-hmm. thing.
Well, what else would it be? A stepford wife? Hmm.
Oh. Why do I get attitude about it? I've never even seen it. Okay.
Whole lot of shade
is
tonight.
It my turn? Whose yes, turn? It's your turn. Okay, we already did Alien.
It's your that turn
on my list. Suspiria. I don't think anybody had that on their list.
Nope.
I don't think I've actually seen that one.
Nope.
Never seen, he said he's a horror fan.
Well, baby.
He said he's a horror fan.
I know, and I haven't seen that one.
He said he's a horror fan. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. You should. I recommend it. Speaking of movies that have been remade, you know, this was recently remade, and I really want to watch the remake, but it's like 2.5 hours long. Oh.
I think we should instead watch that one disco murder party, and then that will be like Suspiria only.
Murder party.
So Suspiria. Okay, well, I'll just say something about it since.
What do you about think that tomorrow?
I made you watch it.
You did.
You fell asleep once, I think.
I did once.
Not a good sell.
It's dancey and witchy and witches and
so Suspiria. Suspiria for me
dances with witches.
Suspiria for me is it's all style. Yeah, like the story is just nonsense. Like nobody, I don't, and maybe I'm wrong. Nobody watches Suspiria for the plot because it's just ridiculous. It doesn't really make sense. People die. Who kills them? I don't know. At one point, like, obviously there's a man strangling somebody. He ain't a witch.
Yeah, we don't know where he
is. You don't ever see him again. He's just killing people. It's got nothing to do with anything. It just happens. Then there's maggots because this is an Italian movie. There's got to be maggots. So anyway, the point is, like, it's weird. It's weird, and I don't necessarily think the plot is great, but, man, it is so well... It's such a weird vision.
Yeah.
It's basically a Technicolor Disney live-action, you know, Disney cartoon nightmare is kind of what they were going for. The color is extreme. The music is extreme. Some of the music's awesome, and some of it is just witchy chanting. Mm-hmm. In the other room for 15 minutes.
Yeah.
So it's a Disney acid trip.
Yeah,
what
I'm
you're
surprised.
Saying.
I am trip. Surprised you've never seen it. I recommend it. If you get a chance, check it out. It's worth watching. Hmm. It's a great looking movie, and it's got such a weird atmosphere. Mm. And
it does.
It has some, if you're into cool kills, it's got some like weird, very stylized kills. It's just the plot's just kind of nonsense.
Nice.
All right, who's next?
One of the best movies to come out of 1973, okay. The Exorcist.
Yep.
That's my number.
That's
one.
On my list.
That was my number one too. Eh.
Legit yeah. Scary.
Did they see her hand? See, there's actually somebody else here.
There's a person.
Wait. That's inappropriate.
I can see a hand. Yeah, there was a hand there.
The Exorcist. Yes. This movie's great.
I think that's on everybody's list worldwide.
Yeah. It was really good.
I'd seen this movie many times and somehow went to the theater and it still got a rather embarrassing jump scare out of me. Because when they re-released it, when was it? In the aughts at some point. They re-released it. And they added stuff? They added the spider walk down the stairs. Wasn't in the original cut. And I'd seen the movie multiple times, so I went on a date. Although maybe taking a girl to see The Exorcist wasn't the best idea, but I was like, if she could stand The Exorcist, then yeah, she deserves another date.
If she could stand The Exorcist,
yeah,
she
basically,
could put up
if
with
she's, if this loses her, then I don't want to be with that chick anyway. But so I went on a date to The Exorcist, the re-released version. Didn't know, like, because in the normal, how the movie normally goes, she finds out Burke is dead or whatever, and then she's like, oh, sad, face the wall, fade out, next scene. Instead, it goes to this horrifying, out of nowhere, spider walk down the stairs, which is interesting because I feel like the way I hear it referenced is, like, people reference that as the spider walk movie now, so it's like, that's the thing people know it for. It's like, well, it wasn't even that for, like, 3 decades.
No.
Didn't know it was coming. Like literally almost jumped in her lap. Like this is not something I do, but I literally like and like grabbed her and I was like, oh my God, really? I don't even think she jumped.
Cool point.
I took her
window.
I said, let's go see The Exorcist and then I jump about it. Like it was ridiculous. Smooth. I know, but that's my Exorcist story.
Yeah.
There's easier ways to cop
I
a feel.
I'm like, let's go see a horror movie, and then I jump it like birds flying out of the bushes. Come on.
Exorcist isn't really, in general, a jumpy movie, though.
That's, well, I'm not actually scared. I'm just so startled. So it's not, it doesn't count.
It's more like a creepy, unsettling.
Well, think about
type of
like
feeling.
One of the creepiest parts to me is Karis's dream with his mother. That's after his mother dies, and it's like she's just the atmosphere, the tone. It's like quiet, and she like walks down into the subway, and then there's the which I think the re-release overuses it, but you get the flash of that face, the Exorcist face. I don't know if it's a Zuzu or whatever they call it, but. That, man, super creepy.
Mm-hmm. And I agree the re-release does overuse it.
Yeah, they use it in extra parts where it's like, it works because it was used so seldomly.
Yeah.
And it's, anyway.
That movie ruined pea soup for years.
Pea soup ruined pea soup. Peas ruined pea soup.
Hi. Jesse?
Oh, hey, what do we got left here? I got another one that I know that Randy has on his list that I'm going to save for him because he can probably speak more eloquently about it. So I'm going to just go to Halloween.
I had Halloween.
Ooh.
Halloween.
Yes, sir. And ma'am.
Oh, did we? Okay. Then I only have one left.
Halloween. What?
1978.
What do you guys like about Halloween? It's just a bunch of chicks walking around talking about boys.
That tension, man. It just builds tension in the best possible ways.
I like
scary. It's scary without like really doing much. What it became a running gag in the new movie.
Yeah.
Like what? Six people died or something like that, you know? Like, still six people. Well,
When Halloween gets criticism, it seems like it's usually from people who are like, it's just boring, nothing happens. But Jesse, you're right. It's tension and it's atmosphere and I don't know. It's really good. Like it's definitely a good example of John Carpenter making the most of a low budget because it is, you know.
Right.
And actually, like, elements of it that make it so good are from it being a low budget. The long tracking shots of them just walking and talking and the camera just follows them. It's because it's expensive to do multiple takes and different camera setups. You just, you let it roll and then you just follow them for a long time. You don't even have to edit it. it's done. But, I don't know. It's awesome. It's iconic. Michael Myers I love the idea of Michael Myers as the shape. They called him the shape because he's not Michael Myers. He's not a person.
Right.
He's not a monster. He's just a shape. He's just a thing that kills.
Mm-hmm. The boogeyman. Okay. Say the build up and the attack from not so much the striking from the shadows, but the silent hulking stalker was nice. You know, it's refreshing to have that just kind of again, the sombering, just da 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 da, bam, gotcha, and then move on to the next one.
And that theme, man, like
Halloween,
man,
it's the Halloween theme. He nailed it.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Gives you goosebumps.
I don't know. That's another example of like Carpenter working, making simple, awesome, because even like something. Paul reminded me of is like the lumbering, you know, killer just coming after you, and it's just like da-da, and that's, I mean, it is, it's just like da-da, da-da, and that's what the music does for parts of it. It's just the da-da, one note, da-da, but it's awesome.
It's like, and yeah, I don't think it'd have the same effect if it was just you're watching the movie and here he comes walking, just silent.
Right.
Yeah, but yeah, that done. You know, it builds the anticipation. It gets your heart pumping a little bit. And you know, it's like, okay, he's going to go. And then it cuts into just a couple more notes and just dun 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 dun, and that's when he hits, and it's phenomenal. It's the whole package between the Carpenter score and just the way he shot, you know, the way everything was shot. I think that's what makes it a classic.
Right. Speaking of that, I mean, like, we didn't even talk about it, but Jaws.
Yeah,
same deal. Yeah. Like, the theme.
Dun, dun, it's dun, the music. Dun,
dun, becomes yeah. iconic, you know?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Yep.
It's one of the first things you learn how to play on violin.
Is it?
Is it?
Hamburger, yeah.
Hamburger, hamburger. Oh, it was hamburger out of my school.
Hamburger? Yep. This is a hamburger, hamburger.
I like hamburgers.
Hamburger, hamburger. Mm-hmm. And then they just go through the, you know.
Okay. Yeah, that was a great pick. And then Hot Cross Buns. Who's after Jesse?
Me.
You?
Yes. Okay. Season of the Witch.
Wait. Okay, never mind.
It's my last one.
Wait. As in Halloween 3, Season of the Witch?
No. Season. No.
Okay.
Not Halloween 3.
What's Season of the
Season
Witch?
Season of the Witch. It's like Wicker Man, but better in every respect. It's a couple, and they have a daughter, and they move to this small town because they were having issues, and they're going to try and save their marriage or whatever. They move to the small town, and then there's a bunch of witches there, and the husband slowly starts to figure this out, but by the time he does figure it out, it's too late, and they all witched him up. And he can either die or accept it and just live with being, you know, the plaything of his wife and the other witches in the town. And he decides just to go ahead and...
How do I not know this movie? This is a George A. Romero movie.
Are you serious?
Okay, 1973. Originally released as Hungry Wives. And apparently, the film's distributor...
Those hungry wives.
According to Wikipedia, the film's distributor cut major parts of the film and changed its title to Hungry Wives, marketing it as a softcore pornography film. And apparently it failed to find an audience there and was re-released years later under the title Season of the Witch.
Okay, well, that's the one that I think.
What? So I bet that's what they... I bet the title of Halloween 3 is more a nod to this than anything... that has anything to do with the plot of Halloween 3. Interesting. I didn't even know this was a thing.
Yeah.
Oh, good pick.
Thanks. Watch it sometime.
Yeah.
It's better than Wicker Man, but actually the first Wicker Man was actually pretty good too, so they're both really good. They're both good from the 70s, but I chose this one over Wicker Man.
Interesting, okay.
That's it for me. I'm out.
Who's next?
You.
It's you.
Okay.
It's ironic that this is what we're going to end on.
Oh, yeah, weird. Okay, so this is the last movie on my list that we haven't covered already. My top ones being Carrie, Halloween, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, and The Exorcist from S4 to 3. Okay, Phantasm. This is a movie that still is under-talked about. Like, how... People know Phantasm, but it's not like... This is...
I don't think it feels like 70s.
It's very 70s. You're probably more familiar with the 80s sequels.
Probably.
It seems like Phantasm 2, was it 2, got played more on cable. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's because this hasn't been remade, is why it's not like more in the collective conscience.
Wasn't there a sequel in the making? I thought I heard there was something coming out.
I don't even know if I've ever seen the last one, which is actually kind of a bummer. There's four total, four or five, I think four. But there's always been talk of another one. And, you know, I don't know. I think they're probably done now.
All right, isn't like the scary guy dead?
Did the tall man, I think the tall man might have passed away.
Yeah, I think so.
But he looked like he was old in the 70s, and he pretty much looked the same.
Right,
well into the 2000s, exactly. And the 90s at least. So he pretty much looks identical between this and like at least the fourth one, and there's like 30 years between the two. Phantasm. This is such a weird movie, and it's like I said, it's one that still not everybody knows. It surprises me a little bit, but I don't know how to explain it. Basically, there's this tall man. He's like the villain of this franchise, and he has this weird little killer ball technology.
Yeah, what is that called?
Phantasm Ravager. I should know that. 2016. That was the last one. I have not seen that one. So there's five altogether. I need to watch that.
Okay. I thought they were coming out with another one.
Cool. When was four? 98. Okay. So not quite 2000s. 98. But yeah, he has these little... Okay, if you are unfamiliar with the movie, but have you ever seen these little silver balls that fly through the air? They have little things that stick into people, and then they drill into their brain, and they do various things. Sometimes they split blood out the back. No? Well, that's in this movie. There's these little dwarfed people, and they're not like dwarves, and they're not really even like aliens, but they're people that he shrinks down for some reason, because apparently in this other dimension that he sends them to through tuning forks, gravity is heavier.
I feel like he's the master, you know, from like the Doctor Who series.
He so is.
These ridiculously like convoluted technologies that just like make things so much worse for you.
Every one of these movies, they blow up a Hemi Cuda super sweet muscle car. One of the sequels has a four-barrel shotgun. I don't know. It's Phantasm. It's just great. The movie opens, and there's some guy. It turns out to be like the brother of kind of our leads. Also, one of the leads and one of the like heroes of the franchise is Reggie, this balding ice cream man. Yep. But the movie opens with some guy in a cemetery having sex with a woman, and we get a close-up of the woman's face, and then she turns into the tall man. I don't know what that means. I don't know what that means. What does the guy experience? But then the guy's dead. So there's a funeral.
Yep.
There's lots of graveyards. I don't know. It's such a weird world. And the sequels of this are definitely worth watching. I feel like this isn't even one of those movies where it's like, well, the sequels kind of go downhill, even though, I don't know, they might. But or the original was better. It's like, no, it's all Phantasm. It's all weird. It's this whole world that they craft. And the more that they explain of the tall man, the less sense any of it makes. So it's fun.
It's so weird. That's why I skipped this one. That's why I left it for you.
How eloquently I put that.
I don't know what to say about this.
It's Phantasm.
I don't know what to say.
It's really good. The music is, in my mind, it's like one of the iconic horror things. In the 90s, I don't remember which rapper it was, but it was used as the music for a fairly big rap song that did pretty well, which is kind of cool, but also kind of irritated me because it's like, well, then there's a lot of people that are only going to ever think of that rap song when they hear that and not the real thing that it came from, which is this awesome movie from the 70s that's super weird. It's also super confusing. Like at one point, one of the other, like the older brother dies, but then he doesn't. And there's parts of the movie that seem like didn't happen, but maybe they did. The 70s.
There's a lot of drugs.
It was the 70s. Nobody's really sure what happened in the 70s.
There's long sequences where
still reeling from the 60s.
Ice cream man busts out an acoustic guitar and they all rock out for a little bit.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Sounds fun.
Whatever. I haven't thought about the Phantasm for a while. I'm gonna have to rewatch this. You never seen it?
Like portals.
Yeah, there's portals too. It's so strange. Yeah,
just the balls is enough for me.
Like, kind of like Mars, but not really Mars. Balls? Some red,
I've seen
red
them,
planet,
okay. But
something.
I don't know them.
You don't know them? Yeah, those. Yeah, what is this? Is it another dimension or is it Mars? I'm just gonna keep talking.
I don't know.
This nonsense.
Some kind of planet.
Laughing.
Well, yeah.
No.
It,
yeah.
It,
balls.
Is it anything like Bowie's balls? Because
I don't know what that is.
From Labyrinth.
Oh no no no! Now I have to bleep that.
Why?
No, I don't know. Because you're talking about anatomy.
No, I'm not. I'm talking about the little
spears.
Right, he does have, okay, they're you're
spears
right, you're right.
From now on. Jeez,
guys.
The balls that Bowie juggles in his
spears, please.
Oh, spears.
All right. Oh, man. So.
Oh, man.
We actually got through the list. I'm impressed. I'm impressed.
Well, mine and yours, at least.
Do we want to
do
80s?
Do you guys, do you guys have more on your lists?
No, that was it. I didn't have honorable mentions, so that is my list.
I had Amityville Horror, but.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good one, yeah.
I mean, it's at this point, it's been remade and sequeled out so much that it's. I mean, it's been beaten to the proverbial pulp.
But the 70s version was the first, right?
Yeah.
And
because before that, it was like a book
and
or something.
Based on a true story.
Say book and then real life experience.
I mean, well, yeah. Real life.
That's the one with the flies, right? It's got all the flies. Okay. Amityville is one that, like, it was like a classic horror movie. And I don't know that I had seen it for a long time. Mm-hmm. It's just one that eluded me.
I saw that one when I was pretty young, too.
Really?
Yeah.
Or it's one where I'd seen haunted house movies on TV or something that I thought was that movie, and then later when
that's
I watched
the problem
it,
with
I
that.
Didn't. It wasn't. So.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, that's not Amity.
It's like there's
how do you say
Amityville Horror.
Amityville.
There's like... knockoffs like Amityville Possession and Amityville Haunting, and it's just like, what's going on? And I just want to watch the movie, guys.
And there was some, like Ouija board movie that wasn't Ouija board, it was like witch something. And for a long time, I thought that was Amityville Horror, too.
Amityville.
I think Jesse's done.
Yeah.
I can't say the word. That's why it's not on my list. Can't say it.
Are we going to do 80s movies next, you were asking, Paul?
We could do top 5 instead of top 10.
But
top 20.
I can't. Yeah, I don't know if I can make
that
to 5.
I mean, yeah, the 80s are so ripe, man.
Well, I
that's why I was saying narrow it to 5, because otherwise it'd be like a 4-hour show.
So we basically, we tried this. How long? Well, this hasn't been going that long, right?
It's only
an hour and a half, but still.
Yeah, but look at the, remember 80s went quantity over quality.
Well, that's what I was going to say. And this is something, so viewers, this is not the first time we attempted this episode. We tried this on Livecast where we used to do the live Growlix shows. And, one thing I was saying was, so the 70s is definitely, and I think I tried to get there at the beginning of this episode. The 70s is definitely, there was a big boom in horror, but there were a lot of like really good iconic classic horror movies that come out. And you're right, the 80s was a massive boom in horror. Not so many iconic classics.
I mean, we got some, iconic characters.
Even the iconic, it's like, we recently did a Friday the 13th special on Growlix Cinematic Universe, our movie podcast spinoff. Even the first Friday the 13th really isn't, like, that good. Like, it's good.
No. But it's not 70s
I feel like if it hadn't spawned Jason, even though it took 3 movies before he finally became the Jason everybody knows, I don't know that it would have been as... I know it did well at the time, but I don't know that it'd be, like, as iconic as it's considered now.
Mm-hmm. So I don't think it'd have the staying power, no.
Can I real quick?
You can all the real quick.
I have not seen these. I just wanted to share some of the 70s titles I ran across.
That you haven't seen these?
No.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
The Wizard of Gore. Three on a Meat Hook. Killdozer.
Three on a Meat Hook.
Killdozer. I've heard of that.
Killdozer.
Yeah.
And Schlock.
Straight to the point with that one. Schlock.
Incredible Two-Headed Transplant. Vampire Circus, The Candy Snatchers, What Have You Done to Solange? Is that how you say that? I don't know. And then my favorite, Don't Torture a Duckling. What the hell were they doing in the 70s, dude?
I might have to take it back about how the 70s was less quantity, more quality.
Oh, man.
Oh, no. They had their...
schlock.
Yeah, we'll go with schlock.
You know, at least you know what you're getting. 80s,
but yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe you'd watch Don't Torture Your Duckling right after Willard.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Who's that? Crispin Glover, too, right?
That's the remake.
Mm. Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah, you got 70s Christmas. You'd have been like five.
They remade that. Holy moly.
Did that guy scream?
I was going to say, he might have done the whole Back to the Future thing. I don't know.
Did you hurt your head? Density, it's popped me to you.
All right, well, for anybody who's watching in the future, thanks a lot. I'll re-upload this video probably to YouTube and maybe to Facebook. I don't know if it's worth putting videos up on Facebook.
We
not hour and a half
before
long.
We cut out of here. There's a there's a comic coming out on Tuesday. I want to make you aware of.
A comic book?
Yes.
On Tuesday?
Not Tuesday, Wednesday.
You think this is the Grotz podcast? You think we talk about comics over here?
Yeah. No, but we're talking horror, and it's a horror comic.
Wait. Well,
okay. All right.
I know we do. We just usually don't on the live shows.
Yeah.
Hit us with it. I'm very interested.
It's Count Crowley, Reluctant Monster Hunter, number one, comes out 10/23/2019.
What is this?
It is written by David Dastmalchian, art by Lucas Kettner. The premise is the aspiring reporter Jerry Bartman is furious when she's demoted to hosting the nightly creature feature at her small town TV station. But Jerry quickly learns that there is more to horror hosting than just introducing bad B-movies. Her first night in the costume of her missing predecessor, Count Crowley, finds her face-to-face with a living, breathing werewolf. Or was she just that drunk? It's the perfect comic for the Halloween season.
That sounds like a super fun premise.
The name Crowley is familiar to me. What is that?
It's a thing. Like Aleister Crowley.
Aleister Crowley. Yeah.
I say the cover art is amazing.
So,
it's Dark Horse is putting it out.
Good.
Dastmalchian, he's really big into the old school horror stuff. You've seen him in some movies. He's in Ant-Man. He plays Kurt, the computer guy.
Okay.
From Ant-Man. He's the new Murdoch on MacGyver. You don't watch CBS, Randy. You haven't seen him.
I'm not 60. I don't watch CBS.
I like MacGyver. Leave me alone.
60.
But no, it seems like a really
good urban
book.
Thing.
Do you drink your urban drink while watching your 60-year-old CBS shows? Okay, I'm sorry. So, how did you
Maybe
come across?
I will.
This? Yeah. Do you have?
But no.
How did you come across this comic?
Actually, I follow David on Twitter, and we talk a lot. And I noticed that it was coming out. And I thought this would be a good time to mention it so people didn't forget it. He's doing signings throughout the country. I'm hoping he comes local to do some signings soon. Because, I mean, he was born and raised
so
in Kansas
City.
Not too
far out of here anyway.
Yeah, so, I mean, he's a Midwest boy. So, like, and his favorite comic is Moon Knight. So...
All right.
He's a very interesting.
All right, yes. Yeah. Oh, your webcam just went.
That's Count Crowley, Reluctant Monster
Go
Hunter.
Go check it out at your local comic shop. Shop local. Unless they suck.
speaking of local, Lenny Vernon, BA Trucker, is going to be releasing their newest issue. If you're watching this live on Saturday at Krypton Comics in Omaha.
Saturday.
Spoiler.
Saturday.
Nope, they're not watching it live on Saturday.
Hey, oh, man.
I believe one, Jesse and Paul are watching us live.
I'm not even watching us. I'm just, like, monitoring the chat that we've basically banned.
We kicked everybody out.
Our chat is, yeah.
Get out!
Automatic.
Message deleted.
This Delete. Is Grolix.
Yep. You've been Grolix'd, fool.
Hopefully the chat aspect will get better. You can't expect too much on our first stream. Well, I mean, I'm sure you guys don't expect too much. I expect a lot, but I can't expect a lot on our first stream. At least the chat we did have was kind of exciting for half a second.
Yeah. Oh, boy. It derailed everything.
Shut down. Yeah, it did. All right. Well, hey, future viewers and listeners, I might pull the audio from this. I don't know. Depends if it's... I don't know. Whatever. Thanks for checking us out. You can find more Grolix Podcast at grolixpodcast.com. We do the Grolix Podcast, which is usually TV and comic book talk. And if you want movie talk, check out Grolix Cinematic Universe. We do a lot of TV and movie talk on this show, on the live shows, because Randy's a sellout.
No, why not?
Randy's a sellout. No, because I don't really. If you guys want to talk comics, go for it. I got nothing to say.
We have a strong tradition of horror. I mean, like, one of the first comics we ever reviewed on the show was The Other Dead. So we like our horror. We like our zombie crocodile.
Yes, that's right. I'm a little surprised.
Yeah. We expected to hate that, too. And we loved it.
Because that's when we had the comics. What was it? Basically, flaming poo review.
I don't know why we thought that was a great name for a segment.
We're gonna find a comic that sucks, and then we're gonna talk about it. And then we read like The Other Dead, and it's like, oh, this was pretty good. This was fun.
I mean, like, is it good or do we just like it? Doesn't matter.
True. I don't know that it was good, but you know, whatever. It was fun. It was tongue in.
It was incredible. It was incredible in its own way. Like. To its holy cow!
Like it, or to its whatever a compliment. It was zombies from an angle that you don't really ever really see. If I'm thinking right, it was basically just animal zombies, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then hashtag thanks Obama for saving us from zombie crocodiles.
About that. There was the whole redneck and oh god, I forgot about that like political thing they threw out there.
Yeah, it was like the total, like, totally anti-Obama type guy, and then Obama. And we were like, okay, that's saving the world. Thanks, Obama.
Zombie that's crocodile right. at a time. About that.
That's so funny. All right, well, hey, you can find that in the backlog. That God, that's from, like, almost 6 years ago at this point. Almost 6 years. You can find our podcast on all the regular places you find podcasts, and... we'll be doing more live streams in the future, probably next week, but I don't want to, we're a little all over with our schedule, so I don't want to say for sure just yet.
Well, next week would be Halloween. Not Halloween yet.
Thank God.
Not yet.
We're almost getting there. We're getting there. Still got two more wonderful weeks. Hey, Paul,
enjoy them.
Where can people find your stuff?
At Moose's Marvelous Wood Burnings and more. I'm not used to the name change yet. Where we have podcasts and wood for you at Moose's Marvelous Wood Burnings and more on Facebook.com.
Hey, Jesse, you got anything you want to tell people about?
Hey, check out GrolixPodcast.com.
Oh, yeah. Twitter.com/GrolixPodcast. Facebook.com/GrolixPodcast. YouTube.com/GrolixPodcast. Twitch.tv/GrolixPodcast. Instagram.
All the Grolix Podcast.
Pinterest.
Do it.
I'm actually more active on Pinterest lately than I am on like Instagram and stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
That's funny.
Oh, it's not interesting. Movie covers and comic book covers. And
it's not Pinterest.
Stuff related to the
Wait, what?
Mostly.
I just started a
It's not Pinteresting?
Life coaching BS.
Life coaching BS on Pinterest?
Yeah.
Cool.
I mean, if you like that kind of stuff, cartwheelspodcast.com.
Yeah.
Whenever. Yeah.
You could promote that, man. Why not? Do it. Not even why not. You should. Tell us about your podcast.
Yeah. It's like a Pinterest page, but for your mind.
That might be the best pitch. If you want to get women who like podcast and Pinterest. And guess what? There's a pretty big overlap in that market right there. That's a good pitch, Jesse. You're going to get... You follow that.
I'm gonna
yeah,
pin that
yeah.
one.
Yeah. I'll repin it.
That one.
Okay. That's what they're called, right? On Pinterest? Repin it? Or I guess you just pin it.
I think so.
In the first. Yep. Hey, thanks. Yeah. Thanks for listening and watching.
I feel like it really just went off the rails.
Unfortunately, it went off the.
It's just in a pit.
Hey, we'll be back.
Before I do that, I got to report this show because this is garbage. Oh, nothing. I didn't say any words.
This show? Stream information.
No, I mean, I need to share the show. That's what I meant to say. Share it.
What is all this?